ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you.
Welcome to this episode of Ain't Misbehaving.
I'm Dr. Louisa, and I'm here to talk about your pets, some problems you may have, and some things you can do. I'm a veterinarian with a special interest in behavior and have been helping people with their pets for over 30 years. My hope is to help you with your own interspecies relationships.
Here is this episode's bonus question. How can you drop a raw egg onto a concrete floor without cracking it? Find the answer to this at the end of this episode.
My guest is Mary Muir, someone I've known about 25 years. She was a student of mine in the veterinary technology program at Pierce College. Recently, serendipity brought us together again, and I was surprised and pleased to learn where her life journey had taken her. Hi, Mary.
Hi there.
So what is it that you do now? You're doing cat rescue, right?
Not so much anymore. The group I worked with, Cascade Animal Protection Society, went from having a series of foster homes to strictly providing grants and helping with medical bills and spay and neuter. Just because animal rescue is not something for those of us that have some mileage on us.
Yeah.
We weren't getting any new blood to, you know, take over the fostering. You know, we had wonderful leadership. We were sustaining ourselves, which with any rescue group, that's all you can do is keep the lights on. And so as a group, it was decided that we would go strictly to medical assistance and spay and neuter, even to the point of we provide grants to other rescue groups to support their spay and neuter.
Sure. It's quite a project, no matter what way you slice it.
Well, you know, and when you work with animals, it's all about the emotions.
Isn't it, though? Yeah. I remember, it's been maybe 4 years. My neighbor had to go into assisted living, and she had several cats, and some of them we caught, and some of them we were able to find homes for. But there was one, a very sweet little black cat, that I was able to get into a crate and bring to you, and you took her in, and I was so pleased with that, because she was a very sweet cat. And, you know, usually she would come to me, you know, outside. She shouldn't have been outside, but she was.
Well, it's a lot of drama when you've got, you know, mom going into a home, and, you know, she obviously had issues that got her to that point. And animals take things so seriously.
Yeah.
I have an update on her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She settled into the household and liked to burrow under the covers at night. And, you know, life goes on. And a woman that I had previously adopted to, whose cat has since passed on, she contacted me, and she thought her neighbor needed a cat. I don't have any official fosters. I'll help you find somebody. And I took a picture of little Sophie, which I named her, the little black one, and she immediately fell in love. I mean, you know, just from the picture, the next text was mine. And this is all current events. So yesterday I took Sophie over to the woman's house, and it was just like she had lived there forever and claimed her place underneath the bedspread, and, you know, made friends with the dog and the bunny, and it was like, oh okay.
How lovely. Well, thank you for that.
And I got an update this morning that she had pretty well taken over this woman's lap, and you know, so The work goes on even if we tell people that the work isn't going on.
It does, doesn't it? So that leads me to a question, because I've always loved black cats, and I've loved them, and they've all been really pretty sweet. But then there's all this stuff that I have not found any scientific evidence for, but I think you are as good an authority as any on the personalities breeds. I mean, calicos have a reputation.
Oh yes. It's the red-headed gene. The calicos, the ones with, the red highlights, tortoiseshells, they are kind of known to be very standoffish, hard to handle because, they're fiery. On the other hand, boys that are red, are big ginger cats. They are usually the sweetest, most easy to handle. They're just amazing like that. So there's even the gender difference.
Oh, true, true.
And because when you were in practice, you probably noticed that the big ginger boys, you could do anything with them. Scratch them behind the ears and they were yours forever.
Exactly. My niece has a ginger male, and every time you go over, you sit down, your lap is full.
And then I once had a ginger female, solid orange, and
Which is
everything
rare.
was an issue with her. I put the water on the wrong side of the kibble dish. I put the kibble dish wasn't up to a certain line on the dish. I moved a chair. Everything was an issue. I loved her. She was great, and when she put her mind to it, she was sweet and adorable. It was just always an effort for her. Like, oh, don't make me do oh, you expect me to. She was one of those that was very happy to sit on the couch with you as long as you were on one end and she was on the other, facing away from you. And before she passed, she finally figured out that I was not this evil person that was out to ruin her life. And she actually started sitting on my lap.
Oh, wow.
And she was about 17. Got her when she was about two, and it was a struggle some days.
Well, you've been working with cats for a number of years as far as like adoptions and things like that. Are there ones that are unadoptable in your view?
Yes, but I really don't like going into the unadoptable part because you have to figure out why they're unadoptable. Is it a medical issue that they only have, 6 weeks to live? Those are unadoptable. The other ones just have had a whole bunch of misunderstandings throughout their life. Someone didn't recognize their qualities. The one I laugh about is years ago, I was working in a clinic, and every clinic has the cork board, with free cats, free, and I happened to be walking by, and there was a big notice that says, "Good home wanted for bad cat." And it was like, huh, I need to know more. And the story was, is it was an 8-year-old ragdoll mix,
Rag doll.
which are usually the
They're good
ragdoll
cats.
mix,
They're
which
perfect cats. They
they're
are
like
rag
pillows.
dolls.
Well, the reason they were getting rid of them is since the baby was born, he had been peeing outside the litter box. Okay, I know the answer to this. So they made him an outside cat, but they had declawed him as a kitten. So this is a cat that had nothing going for him except his bad attitude. He ate, drank, pooped wherever he wanted, urinated wherever he wanted, because he couldn't be in the house. And but, as I'm reading what his problems were, it's like, okay, what are things that are maybe environmental? A baby.
A baby.
How many of us really want to be in the home with a newborn baby? Not
Exactly.
me, set me out on the board. But I took him on, and he was so interested in getting a good home for this cat, he offered $1,000
Oh.
to take on this cat.
Oh.
When he was brought to the clinic, because he had to be, anesthetized for everything, they would set the carrier down, and he was able to move the carrier across the floor like the old Tasmanian devil
Yeah.
cartoon. So good old Mary, knowing that he was going to be indoor only, there was not going to be babies, I took him on. He was only adoptable to the right person that understood none of this was his fault. And so I got him home, and obviously I let him set the pace.
Yeah.
And it was difficult sometimes. It's a cat that I would have never offered anybody just because he had so much baggage. He would wake up out of a sound sleep, go into another room to swipe at somebody.
Un-ragdoll like.
It's like undomesticated cat-like,
Yeah.
because most cats won't wake up out of a sound sleep to
Right.
track down somebody. And I absolutely believe in talking gently to animals and explaining what you're doing. And I did. And one morning I rolled over. My husband was on the other side of the bed, and Cato was sitting next to his head.
Uh-oh.
And I thought, okay, where's the phone? You ought to call 911, because, I figured that he had
Oh.
attacked. And no, he was just sitting there purring.
Oh.
Whatever had happened, he was able to figure out at some point that no one was going to hurt him. Even when he was not acting like a rag doll. And I had him for 10 years. He could be handled, but he was very much aware of people who loved him and people that didn't. He lived to be 18, and I spoiled the heck out of him for those 10 years and told him how wonderful he was. So then the other segment of that are feral cats and community cats, which is a problem that, we as humans can take steps towards, maybe not making them adoptable, but socializing them to a degree that they can be managed. Barn cats, garage cats, whatever you want to call them. And what I find really reassuring is the shelters now have two different programs for cat adoptions. One is, what they tell everybody about. Oh, look at the kitten. And then they've got the community cat portion, which you adopt a cat and they become your barn cat or your garage cat, and you're responsible for them. And but they have a home, they have a purpose. So, that's the long answer to, are there unadoptable cats?
Right.
I think that we can do better treating them like kind of playing to their strengths.
Well, you've adopted out a lot of cats in your day, haven't you?
Oh yes. All shape, form, manners, means,
So
medical issues.
how do you find the homes? Do people just come to you, knock on your door?
No, it actually a lot more civilized than that. When I was with the rescue group, there's a site called Pet Finder. It's kind of like this Match.com for pets. And the group I was with, we had a presence on there. So when I had someone ready to start looking for their forever home, I would post them, and if you're interested in meeting this cat, contact the rescue group. They'll contact me and we can chat about it. So, people would come to my house after I've asked them 100 questions, like, why do you want this cat? But if they say they have mice, then I can direct them in a different direction. Mm-hmm. So, I'm really trying to right cat for the right circumstance.
Okay, perfect.
And then the other thing we did as a group is we'd have adoption days at PetSmart and Petco. At the PetSmart in South Hill, we would have cats that lived up there. Okay. And then at Petco, there would be a weekend that I would bring three cats and they'd be on display. And then at the end of the day, they'd come home with me and, repeat on the next day. And we would take applications. And if the people met all of my personal requirements, plus the vibe they were getting off, they may have come in and looking for this one cat. Well, I don't think this cat is right for you. This cat lives with me. I know what she likes. And so sometimes I could steer them into a different direction or maybe to another rescue group to find somebody that would be more suitable to them.
Well, there's a lot of counseling involved here.
Yeah. part matchmaker, part,
Yeah.
There's some cases I've done home visits. So yeah, it's part being a matchmaker, it's part being a psychologist. And sometimes it's just, you look at somebody and you go, okay, this is a done deal.
Yeah.
And I had that experience one time. We were at Petco and this woman came up and she was looking at an older cat, which was good because she was older. She was in a wheelchair. Her and the cat went nose to nose. And it was like, wow, you could just almost see the little hearts and butterflies, circling their heads. And Nina was with that woman until the woman had to go to assisted living. The group I work with and even private ones I do now, if it's not working out, you call me, I come and get the cat, no harm, no foul. If it's something the cat's doing, I do need to know that just so that I'm forewarned for the next person. The cat doesn't like the color orange. Okay. That's good information to pass on to the next prospective owner. Stay away from pumpkins. I think that if we listen to ourselves and listen to the animals, we're not going to go too far wrong. And every time I brought a cat into my house, I would tell them, and this sounds really kind of stupid, is you stay as long as you need to stay. Because fostering's a young person's game. Going to events and worrying about, I got, 2 applications for the same cat and right. I like this person better than I like this person. And, the third one has a significant other that doesn't work for me. I enjoyed it while I did it. I miss it sometimes. And I'm glad I'm not doing it as much as I was.
So if people are looking to adopt, where should they go? I mean, I'm not going to give them your number.
Oh, there's so many places to go. Yeah, for a good time, call.
Yeah.
I have a neighbor that's working with a group called Feisty Felines. He's also working with Feline Friends. There's just, I can, just off the top of my head, I can think of 10 places that have cats available for adoption. All the way from 6 months to 10 years. So it's what you're looking for. I like the website petfinder.org.
Okay.
Because it is like match.com. Yeah, you type in, okay, this is my zip code. I am looking for this. And then it lists closest to furthest shelters that have matches to that. And pictures, if I was to type in my zip code right now, I would get everything from the pet doctor, which does
Oh,
a
yeah.
small amount of fostering and caring, and cats that have been abandoned, to Tacoma Humane Society, and then further out, just all these groups, it's kind of centrally located. And there's actually one group that it's kind of a nobody really thinks of it. There's a cat supply store in, I want to say Kirkland. It's called Cats and Caboodle. CAT, And they have adoptable cats through them, some in foster care and some that live in the store. So, you come in to buy, some treats, and here's the cats, wandering around your ankles, going, pick me, pick me. And so, it's one of those things. And I've got, if any of your listeners want to know about some of these groups, I have phone numbers and contact names for a lot of these groups because, I've done this for a lot of years, and then I was a vet tech, and and people go, oh, that's a lot of experience just sitting there. And so they can call me and say, well, what are your thoughts on? Or do you know any groups that, do more of this than more of the other? And it really is nice that there's so many options now. And all of these groups, the first thing they do, spay and neuter. Everybody just and I kind of got involved with feisty felines down in the Olympia area because I got a neighbor and I had some community cats, and he goes, I don't see any. We were talking one day and he goes, I don't see any cats that are tipped, ear tipped. And I said, no, I haven't, trapped and neutered and released. He goes, I'll do it. And I think we figured it out that he did 20 in a week.
Oh my.
Huh?
Wow. 20.
20 cats that he got in to be spayed and neutered
Jeez.
in a week. He built a little house for him and taught him to go in and out. And then one day he set it up with the traps and they walked right in.
That's amazing.
Yeah, he's kind of the Pied Piper, just because it was like, and I'd see him with the traps all loaded up, leaving for spay day. Really? I said, where are you? And he goes, well, because, you've got the moms that just had their kittens. And, he's very good. And because of him, I'm getting involved with the groups that he's working with. So I know, this person is the person to call in this area if you're looking for someone to adopt.
Well, good.
So, it I don't think I will ever be completely out of rescue.
Right.
And
Well,
I,
it's, sort of addictive, I think. Of course, cats are
well, and
addictive.
then you get a success, and then you get a success. Like I said, I know a lot of groups that are looking for an extra set of hands or someone with a spare bathroom.
Okay. So if someone wants to help, then how should they proceed? I mean, how would they get in contact with a reputable facility?
Okay. The best way is once again petfinder.org.
Okay.
And one of the other things you can do is just say list all the shelters in this 10-mile radius.
Oh, okay.
And it'll, give you information about the group. A lot of times it'll be how long they've been in business, what their focus is, if they're just doing trap, neuter, release, if they're,
Right.
primarily older cats, if it's primarily kittens. And to me, Pet Finder is just like the one-stop shopping.
Yeah.
Because, if you just want to know what's going on in your area, and a lot of times it'll link to their Facebook or to their website, where you can get a lot of information.
Okay.
Thank you, Mary. This has been fun and educational. So the go-to place for adoption and or volunteering is petfinder.com. That's petfinder, all one word, singular, petfinder.com. And now the answer to the bonus question. So how can you drop a raw egg onto a concrete floor without cracking it? Well, even a hard-boiled egg would not crack concrete. If you have issues or topics that you are wondering about, you can send your questions to info@radiotacoma.org. Please put Ain't Misbehavin' in the subject line. You can give as much information in the email as you wish. If your question is chosen, I will answer it in detail on the program. Join us again for more sagas from the world of pet behavior problems. This is Dr. Louisa reminding you.
They ain't misbehaving. They're just behaving.
I don't stay out late. Don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Ain't misbehaving, saving my love for you. Ain't misbehaving, saving my